Ted Nugent. Super Hits. Cat Scratch Finger. Wango Tango. Uncle Ted. Like the song, Wayne?
Love it.
This song will cheer you up. Next time you're having a bad day at work, just turn on some Cat Scratch Fever.
And listen to the words.
Yes. Well, we're back with Rump Chat with Ted Nugent. Little Cat Scratch Fever coming at you. Thanks, everybody, for tuning back in. Oh, it's so good to be back with you. I'm riding solo this week as we are in preparations for the wonderful, the phenomenal, the great San Angelo Stock Show and Rodeo. So Hambone is currently getting ready for his big rodeo. So it's just me today, but I'm not alone. I got a great guest, a guy I've known for literally for a long damn time. Somebody who has been giving me shit about this podcast for a while about, well, when are you going to have me on your radio show? And he calls it the radio show because that's what Benny Butler calls it all the time. But a many-time announcer of the year, announcer of the NFR, I don't even know how many times because it's been so many. The voice of Pendleton, he's been the voice of Tucson, Calgary, Reno Rodeo, Red Bluff, pretty much every rodeo he's been the man at. And he's finally on the Rump Chat, the one and only Wayne Brooks.
I finally made it.
I feel like I finally made it
now that I'm here with you.
Yeah, well, I've been wanting to have you on for a while. Me and Hambone were talking about that. Like, we need to get Wayne because we had Corley on at Prescott a couple years ago, and he was really good. But the hard part is, like, we hate to ask announcers, especially at rodeos where there's multiple perfs. Like, and at Prescott, you know, Randy didn't want to talk too long because of the, you know, it's hot and dusty and, you know, your voice. And,
sure,
you know, Prescott's not an Austin where there's eight in event. You know, Prescott's 15 in the tied events.
There's some heavy lifting to be done at Prescott.
That's So, I mean, it's to ask a rodeo announcer sometimes for us is like, you know, and even like Tallman, you know, he's come on. So I'm trying to think how many announcers we've had on. We've had Anthony, Tallman, you,
Corley,
Justin McKee, Corley. Yeah. So we've had several announcers on, but it's always hard to ask announcers. So we're glad you're here.
I'm glad to do it.
And we are
finally.
He's
scraping the bottom of the barrel.
No way. So we're here together. We're actually at Rodeo Austin, which we're getting ready for the finals that are coming at you. It's been a phenomenal Rodeo Austin. Everything's been really good. We're in the eight people in event tonight.
Yep.
Because it's almost a semifinal. Well, it is a semifinals tonight.
Yeah.
It's been great. We've had a great run. The stock has been good. The weather has been kind of shitty. But, you know, we're inside, so rodeo season, the indoor rodeo season is about over, and which is good and bad, because me and you together, we've already worked 20-ish performances at San Antonio, and now 15 here. So you get, and I worked Odessa with Corley.
Right.
So pretty much every performance I've worked this year has either been with you or Randy. Sorry about that.
That's good. That's the way I like it.
But, you know, we're getting through it. But, you know, Wayne, one thing I like about you is, like, people love you. Your announcing style, you know, the way that you kind of do things. We always talk, and Hambone says I talk too much about bitching about the Cowboy Channel. But, you know, when all the haters that hate on me, they're like, we love Wayne Brooks. He's a steady voice, but... So I don't even know this, but tell us your backstory. I mean, let's go back in your rodeo career, because I was just thinking about this the other day. I really don't know anything about your rodeo career except for announcing.
Gosh, you know, I was probably the best 3-second bareback rider of all time, but the rules 8, so it didn't work out too good for me. But, yeah, I rode bareback horses for about 6 years and enjoyed it, but was not real good. Great at it, not physically fit enough like these guys are today. My gosh, you've got to be in the top 5th percentile when you talk about physically and mentally fit to do their job that they do 100 head a year.
Yeah,
you know, do what they do. But yeah, I just got started that way, and I was at a practice deal outside of Phoenix, Arizona, And the stock contractor's wife was walking around because the announcer didn't show up for the practice. And she's listening to everybody talk. And she said, hey, why don't you give it a try? And we'll give you a free practice horse if you'll give it a go. So, you know, as you know, starting out in the clown business, my first one, it's like, it's Joe Blow and he's on the horse Terminator. So that's it. That's all I had. I didn't have any idea. And then Dan Fowley, who passed away a year ago, great friend of mine from that Phoenix area right there, he was established as an announcer. And the next week, he came back and he said, hey, let me help you. I'll show you how to do this deal. Well, then it just progressed from there. I was married with a youngster, and they called me to do a little college rodeo and then team roping over here and a high school deal over there and a couple hundred bucks. And I thought, man, that's the easiest money a guy's ever made right there.
Yeah, just living that contractor, that contract personnel lifestyle right there.
Yeah, I mean, gosh, the first time I jumped on a plane where I packed an extra pair of underwear and a microphone and got paid $1,000, I thought, oh, my gosh, I'll never see another poor day in my life.
Yeah.
But it was a great, great start, and I'm still shocked to this day that we've had the success that we've had. It's been great.
A lot of people ask that all the time, like, man, how'd you get here? And that's one thing I would say, like, I don't know what the hell happened.
Mm-hmm.
I was thinking about that the other day. I've been at Rodeo Austin since 2014. You know, the first year that I came here, we're living Lil and Bandy. This was their very first rodeo.
Right, right.
They were born September 28th of 13, and they came here in March of 2014, which 2014 doesn't seem that long ago, but that was 10 years. And, you know, you think, when you're first getting started, it doesn't seem like it goes fast. And then all of a sudden you're like, holy shit, what has happened?
Yeah, yeah.
Because, I mean,
here you are 20 years later.
Especially in your story, like I just said just a little bit ago, I mean, it's not like your list of rodeos is small. I mean, when you look at your resume, pretty much every major rodeo you've either got to be a part of or currently a part of. So, I mean, like, looking back, when you started, because you got to know somebody. Everybody's got to know somebody. And that's where I lucked out. And I tell everybody all the time, like, I haven't got here just because I've done a good job. I've got here because I knew people, you know, that the butlers, the servies, the Fransons, all the people that helped me kind of get rolling. So, you know, when you first started, I mean, the announcer game is tough. I mean, it is tough because I tell people all the time, as a rodeo clown, this is where we have freedom where you guys don't. As a rodeo clown, you switch rodeos a lot.
A lot.
A lot. Yeah. There's some that don't move. If you look at the list of rodeo clowns that, you know, look at Leon at Houston, and Leon was at San Antonio, and you know, J.J. Harrison in Ellensburg, like, that's kind of his deal. Where Flint, so there's some rodeos where clowns stay, but for the most part, we rotate.
Right.
So if you're a new rodeo clown, there's a good chance you could get a run of rodeos, but if you're a rodeo announcer and they like you, you will literally be somewhere till you die.
It's a possibility.
I mean, it's hard to break into the business. Am I right?
It is. It very much is. And, you know, I think you and I are both guilty of this. Early on, you emulate your heroes.
Yeah.
You steal all the good stuff and try to act like Clem McSpadden or Bob Tallman or Rudy Burns or whoever the case may be. And then you develop your own style, and then you kind of go your own direction. But those are the guys that helped me, Hadley Barrett and Clem McSpadden and Zoop Dub and Phil Gardenhire, Bob Tallman, Randy Corley. I watched those guys very, very closely, and you know, I'd steal a little bit of something here and there, but then try to develop your own personality.
Yeah.
And I always, and I call myself this, and I think I appreciate the compliment early on when we first started talking, kind of vanilla. I say this about myself, and that's kind of the fact of the matter. But it's okay.
Yeah.
There's a spot for that. You don't have to be away on this side of the pendulum or away on this side of the pendulum. You can be somewhere in the middle.
Yeah, and I think but that's what makes everybody unique, in that if you watch the old Tallman videos.
Oh, yeah.
You know, from the 90s. Oh, he's going to ride. He's going to, you know. That worked for Bob.
Yeah,
that wouldn't work for you.
Yeah,
the same way, you know, with the rodeo clown, like, you know, what I do wouldn't work in Jackson, Mississippi, because it's, you know, they were, you know, old school rodeo clown. I took my wife to Walmart, you know, everybody's different, you know, when you're setting your style and whatever. But that's true. Like, Because, I mean, when I first started, I really didn't have a clue what the hell I was doing.
Yeah.
You know,
the club.
I didn't even, I mean, I took a bucking horse to, I took a blueberry to Clovis, New Mexico to get on for a clown act because I literally didn't have anything to do and didn't know what to do. And then all of a sudden you're like, shit, you know, which I've had a lot of oh shit moments with you,
yeah,
you know, over the years, especially, even back in the day though, you were at Tucson when I was picking up, when I was a pickup man.
Oh yeah.
And a lot of people said, oh, you're either a pickup. So for the record, you can verify that I was a halfway decent pickup man. I mean, I didn't drop a lot of people. Heath Ford, maybe.
Well, and I don't think I've seen you steer wrestle, but I've seen you ride Bronx.
Yeah.
Back in the day. And I was there when you and your sister were, you know, 10, 12 years old, leg wrestling on the ground, working for your dad.
Oh, yeah.
You know, back when he had his card. And, yeah, where did 20 years go? Where did 25?
So what year did you first get your card? When was your 93. Rookie?
Me and Justin McKee got ours at the same time.
93.
We went to the convention the first year in December of 93.
Did you book a lot at the convention?
Zero.
Did you?
But, you know, I had a booth there for probably a dozen years, and I do believe it helped. I do believe that just seeing the familiar faces and shaking hands and saying hi to the people from year to year to year, I do believe it helped. And it lets your personality shine. If you're a jerk, it's going to shine.
Yeah.
People are going to know it. If you're a nice guy and you're just trying to climb the ladder and get some work and do a good job and do what they want you to do, your
right.
committees and your contractors, then that'll show. Eventually, that'll show.
So for everybody that doesn't know what the convention is, and I get this, I get asked this a lot. People go, well, especially people that don't know, be like, well, so you're on the circuit or
right.
like who do you work for? I'm like, well, every week is a different contract. You know, there's not really, I mean, you might have a run of rodeos like, when I go flying you rodeo, you know, I go, my California run is kind of put together by Reno Rosser. But during the NFR at the South Point Hotel and Casino, which is lovely, be sure to stay there, they have the PRCA convention. So in this big banquet room, announcers, bullfighters, comedy acts,
sound,
I mean, yeah, anything. Everything. Yep. Anybody that wants to buy a booth, I think it's $500.
Right.
So if you want to buy a booth, you can go there. And you set up your booth, you decorate it, you bring pamphlets, whatever. So then
some flyers, some business cards. Yep.
Some people go all out. You'll see elaborate, huge booths with decorations and all kinds of crazy shit. And then you'll see people with just the name.
Right.
You know, Bob Johnson Clown, and they just sit
whatever.
There.
Yeah.
So they call it the Shark Tank because you put all these rodeo people all gunning for the same jobs in one room.
Right.
And then you pay there, and then the now this is not a knock on committee guys because sometimes they will ask me about that, but then the committee guys come over in their matching outfits. Matching shirts.
Right.
And they get committee people during the NFR move like a herd of deer. Like they all get together and they just move as a team.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And so then they come by your booth and a lot of times they might talk to you, but you know what? I never booked shit there.
Right.
Like I booked one deal there, but I shit talked this guy and I end up, that's probably my best thing that ever happened there, this guy had these pamphlets and I was drinking beer. I'd sneak beer into my booth and and this guy come by and I go, and he's with a couple people. And I said, here, take a brochure. He goes, I don't need it. And I said, well, good. I don't want to work your shitty rodeo anyway. And he turned around and he goes, what'd you say? I said, I don't want to work your shitty rodeo. And he goes, oh, no, I'm sorry about that. Here, let me grab some of these pamphlets. And I go, nope, nope, nope. So I started pulling these pamphlets back. And he goes, hey, no, I might hire you. I said, no, you don't have enough money. And he said, you don't know me, do you? And I said, no, I don't need to know you. You need to keep on moving. Go find somebody else. So he comes back and he goes, we've decided to hire you. And I'm like, I told you, you don't have enough money. He said, make me a deal. So I told him what it cost. I told him it had to pay cash. I told him he had to buy my flight and hire Wacy Munsell. And he did all that
one year.
Yeah, but that was like pretty much the only time that I booked anything. I had a booth there for years, and me and Aaron Ferguson had one together, and pretty much most of the time you're just talking to your friends because there's only so many rodeo committees coming through there. And I don't really know if any business really gets done at the NFR that wasn't kind of pre-planned as far as that goes, you know, like rodeo committees reaching out and be like, hey, if you're at the NFR, we'd love to talk to you. But like, as far as like the shopping portion of stopping by and, you know, hey, we might be interested. I don't know.
I only booked, you know, a half a dozen rodeos there in a dozen years. But I did figure out, and this is one of the things that I learned from Bob Tallman, is helping other people get jobs is a big deal.
Yeah.
So, you know, I might have a committee that'd come by and say, yeah, we've got Zoop Dove. We've had him for 15 years, and he's going to stay. But we need a bullfighter, or we need a clown. You know, that little interaction of building your circle of friends is huge.
Yeah.
And those committees that want to hire Bob Tallman, Randy Corley, and you at the top of your game know they've got to book you 2-3 years out.
Yeah.
And the, you know, announcer side of it, as you just said a little bit ago, golly, those guys, they stay hooked for 10, 15, 20 years.
Yeah.
So if your XYZ rodeo's on top of whatever, Fort Worth, for example, you're not going to get Bob Tallman. So, yeah, it's an interesting mesh there because, yeah, you don't book a lot of work, but you get to know a lot of people, shake a lot of hands. Yeah, it is a shark tank, but it's fun.
I quit going. You know, everyone's like, are you going to get a booth? I'm like, no. And then, you know, you have the other school of thought on this is, well, out of sight, out of mind. You know, you need to be out there.
Sure.
I have a hard time going out there, you know, because I just, there's so many, it's a cutthroat business in rodeo.
Sure.
And you have all these people that like, for me, I know they shit talk me all year and then I get out there and they want to like, hey Rump, what's going on? And shake my hand. Buddy. And what I do is I go, hey man, how's it going? When I want to go, you know what? You guys can all get fucked, but I can't say that out there. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
Like, I have to really fight that back. So that's why I kind of steer away from the convention. But, you know, like I was telling you about, like, rodeo announcers that stay. Like, Hadley Barrett drove a huge bus, announced San Antonio was his last rodeo.
Right.
And you worked San Antonio. Was you there that year with Hadley?
Yeah, sure was.
So was it you and?
Me and Randy.
You, yeah, there was Randy and Hadley.
I didn't do a whole heck of a lot because I was just there kind of learning the ropes. That was about it. I was just there to kind of watch how things work and see how everything's put together and see what's next in line. And it's crazy. It happened. It's just in the blink of an eye. So, yeah, I was there, and what a great, great mentor he was. And Randy is now, too, but you're going to attest to this for sure. Anybody that ever listened to Hadley Barrett speak at a rodeo or any kind of an event, you come away feeling like he's your grandpa.
Oh, I know.
Or your best friend. Or your dad. Because he's just so smiley and wonderful to be around and quick-witted, funny, you know, and you know as good as anybody. He could pull that microphone away and say, "I'm no riding little," and right back onto the mic and no problem at all. He was
a master at that.
Oh, hilarious.
Hadley, he was a great guy. I'd be clowning a rodeo, and, you know, Hadley, I'd kind of walk up by where he was, and he'd kind of point, and then after the rodeo, I'd be like, well, what'd you think? He goes, I was pointing. I'm like, well, I didn't know what you're pointing at. Did you see the size of that lady's tits over there in section 3? I'm like, God, Hadley. But, you know, when he would do the mutton-busting announcing, that was the best. Like, I actually... As a mutton buster announcer between here and San Antonio,
right?
If you guys watched on the Cowboy Channel, I don't know if they show that anymore, but you know, I've been having to do the interviews, and that's tough.
It's not easy.
It is the hardest shit.
It looks easy, but it's not easy because you're working with a 5-year-old.
Oh, and that's what I was telling you. I was getting shit talked. They're like, that rodeo clown needs to come up with some more questions for these kids. I stick with the basics, like, what do you want to be when you grow up? You know, who's your favorite person? What do you think I weigh?
Yeah, yeah.
Because you can only ask a 5-year-old so many questions. But, like, Hadley, when Hadley would get down on one knee, he'd be like, well, my, aren't you just the most wonderful little girl in the world?
Yeah.
And it's just like, you just wanted to hug the kid and Hadley. You wanted to put Hadley's little bitty body in one pocket because he was so damn good.
Yep.
Do you, I don't know if you remember when Hadley was here, and I wasn't clowning, I was picking it, or no, I was just trucking. During the mutton busting, this little girl won, and Hadley had a line where he said, well, your hair looks awfully nice tonight. Did your mom and dad bring you to the rodeo?
Right.
And this little girl said, no, my mom and dad died in a car wreck, and I live with my grandma now.
Wow.
And I remember going, uh-oh.
Ooh.
And Hadley says, well, you know what? I think if we be really still and real quiet, and we look to the heavens, we can hear mom and dad cheering for you.
Yeah.
Because you're the mutton busting champion. And these people were like, oh my God, Hadley Barrett. Like, it was so damn good. Like, you can't, in live broadcasts like we do, you can't, well, you can bullshit because I do it all the time. But, like, in a deal like that, how in the hell would Hadley think that quick, you know, on the spot to say, shit, you know?
Yeah.
How are you going to get out of that one? So I've actually, that's why I try to steer clear on some of those questions, you know?
He was so quick-witted. And for so many years, he announced that he was 86.
Yeah. And not small rodeos either.
No.
Greeley,
lots of
here.
Big ones. Lots of big ones.
Yeah.
It's like Randy said, and he brought it up just the other day. Him and Hadley used to work Tucson and then San Antonio together. And so they'd jump in the bus and drive out, you know, from Tucson to here, and or to San Antonio, or vice versa, however it worked. And, you know, they were near the end of the run, and Randy said, well, Hadley, you better kiss me because you're going to miss me when I'm gone. Same deal. Without missing a lick, Hadley never even took his eyes off the road and said, I'll notice that you're gone, but it's not the same as missing you.
Oh, God. Buddy burn. I tell everybody about Hadley all the time. It's like, There's those people that get older that you're like, God dang, they're old. And they seem old.
Yeah.
Hadley never seemed old.
Nope.
Even to the end. That dude liked to
mix a drink.
40 Creek whiskey.
Mix a drink. Carry the drink into the 100X Club, which nobody's supposed to have food or drink in there.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's all sold inside the club where there's live music and people partying. And he could carry a drink in or out. And everybody's like, yay, Hadley! Woo, we're glad you're here.
I don't know how he did it. One of my favorite stories, I don't know if I've ever told you this, but so the day after Burwell, Nebraska, Nebraska's big rodeo, Hadley was the voice forever.
It was like Cheyenne and Burwell were the two biggies back in the day.
And, you know, Burwell, it's just amazing still. I've been able to work with it. And the day after, so everybody kind of hangs out, you know, because after that run kind of gets over and everybody can kind of take a deep breath and all the contestants there, you know, you're in Burwell, Nebraska, so you're out in the country. There's tons of pens and you can let everybody just kind of chill. Well, they have this party on the river and it's the Sunday after and it is a country music video. So these people, and it's a daytime party. So these people that own the rock quarry own the land right by the river. And there's, I mean, straight up Jason Aldean country music video. There's campers and barbecue grills and volleyball nets. And
I've heard it's famous.
It is. It's nuts.
Yeah,
it's I've heard they about just it. Call it Sunday Funday. So you float the river. So they bought their own bus. And so they bus everybody uptown to Burwell. And then you get in the river and you float right to their property. And then you get out and you do it all. You drink beer. You go by the...
Yeah, eat, drink. Yeah.
By the that gas station. What's it called? The Pump and Pantry. Gas station and hotel.
Oh, yeah.
And you just drink beer all day. So Weston and I, we went to the Sunday Funday the last year that Hadley was alive. And he shows up on a golf cart. He's got on a Wrangler shirt, long sleeve shirt with like those... khaki, not cargo shorts, but like those, like Dickies, like dress shorts. And he gets out of his golf cart and he's got a bottle of Patron. He's 85, 86 at this point.
Yeah.
So he comes over to me and Weston. He goes, here, boys, get you a drink. And we had had about 36 gallons of beer. So we were like, well, I don't know about that.
Really bad idea.
And he goes, I said, man, I said, we're good. We don't really drink hard liquor. He says, take you a drink, you big fucking pussies. And we did. You know? So that was
he
pretty...
was not scared to, he was not afraid.
No, he wouldn't. Oh, you know, at Greeley at the Greeley Stampede, which is a phenomenal 4th of July rodeo. One of my favorites. I've been able to be a part of that several times, but at Greeley, you know, even though he lived out at Kersey, he would bring in his bus. And after the rodeo, we'd go in and drink whiskey. And the thing I liked about him, Benny Butler gives, I can't get Benny on the show. What, do you want me to be on the radio? Y'all, see, I offered him $1,500 cash.
Guys don't know.
Them guys, see, they got that radio show. I have begged Benny to be on it. But Benny gives you guys shit. Everybody thinks that Benny only gives everybody else shit. He gives the announcers quite a bit of shit, too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, everybody.
And
just
would
wait your turn.
He would get on the bus. He would get on the bus with Hadley, and he would start giving Hadley shit. And Hadley would just straight up tell him, "You need to shut your damned mouth." And Benny would. He was the only guy that ever got Benny to shut up.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah.
They would sit in there and drink 40 Creek whiskey, just like it was no other. I mean, just what a dude that was. But like, you know, and
like you, when you were a kid. Benny grew up with Hadley.
Yeah.
Like a father figure.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, nobody knew him any better or respected him any better. And
yeah.
I think that's the big deal right there. From the time Benny was 8 or 10 years old, Hadley was right there. He was at the family functions. He was at dinner. He was at the rodeos. He was part of the family.
Yeah.
So to have that relationship and that interaction is not surprising.
Yeah.
And once I realized that it was there, pretty cool.
Well, and you know, you work Elk City, Oklahoma,
yeah.
The hometown of the Butlers.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And so you.
The museum and the statue and the.
Yeah, the Statue of Commotion. That actually is a great Labor Day rodeo.
It is.
Phenomenal rodeo right in the middle of town. Rodeo of Champions.
No beer. Sold.
Yeah. You know what, though? That's the craziest thing.
You know it.
They can't sell beer there because of it's in city limits and there's an ordinance. But here's the kicker. On Saturday night, even though there's no alcohol sold,
right,
thousands of people find a way to be drunk. You know,
yeah, there might be a bottle in somebody's car.
You know,
I mean,
just
but they pack it.
It's a wild party for
packed, and it might be 100 degrees or might not, but they pack it. It's amazing, and you know, I heard a producer one time say, "I'll never touch an event unless I can get the booze."
Yeah,
if I can't get the booze money, I'm not going to be part of it. This proves, as a lot of those Utah rodeos do, that you've been at as well, it proves that we have a good product.
Yeah.
You have to sell beer in order to get people to come to your event.
Yeah.
So that kind of makes you feel good about the rodeo industry.
Oh, yeah. And you know, I really feel that we're booming right now, mm-hmm. as a whole. And I'm not, I don't know if it's, I mean, I'm sure some of it has to come with the TV.
Sure.
But,
sure.
Like, I don't know if I've told you this, but I was thinking about this the other day. Maybe I was telling Hamone about it, but I really feel, and this might sound stupid, but I want your honest opinion.
Yeah.
I honestly feel like shows like Yellowstone and the Pioneer Woman, the cooking show with Reed Drummond from Pawhuska,
mm-hmm.
I really feel like that's drawing people closer to the Western agricultural way of life. Is that ridiculous?
Absolutely not. And I've said this 100 times at least. Post-pandemic, people got in touch with their roots.
Yeah.
Simplicity. And we are inexpensive family fun entertainment and, you know, pretty clean, pretty straight. And you can take your family out for $100 and go to the rodeo and eat a hot dog and have a Coke. Where, you know, I took my son to a Dallas Cowboys game 10 years ago, and whew, that's a whole different story. You can spend all kinds of money.
Oh, yeah.
But those roots of simplicity is what we've been selling for 100 years. We are who we are. We love what we do. Nobody's going to get rich or famous, but we have a passion for what we do.
Yeah.
And I think people see that, whether it's going out and taking the kids and riding a bike or doing something simple like going to a rodeo.
Yeah.
It's been the last 3 or 4 years has been huge.
Well, and like here in Austin, you know, for people, I have people all the time like, dude, what's, you know, what is Austin so, I don't want to say weird, but they say weird.
Yeah, they do. Yeah,
they say they keep Austin weird.
One of our mottos here is where weird meets Western.
Austin is a really weird place. If you go down to 6th Street, don't. we had to go down to 6th Street, and we had to wear a rodeo clown shit there. This was a few years ago, and we didn't even stick out. There was a guy there that had these dreadlocks, and he's dancing around and doing all this dumb shit. We're looking at his hair, and his hair's moving. Well, he had a live snake that he had, like, banded in his hair. And this snake was just chilling out while this dude was, he was like Dukes on Semi-Pro, just a nasty, dirty hippie.
Well, there was a guy
right there.
You remember this because he was famous. Everybody knew him.
The naked biker.
Yeah, riding the bike in the thong every
day.
Every day, downtown Austin. But as
he died.
He did a couple years ago. As you say, it's weird. It's also cool because it's out there. And I mean, people know that when you come here, whether it's on a business trip or a vacation, you can let your hair down and boat and kayak and fish and live music every night, 7 days a week, and barbecue and food, and the list goes on. It's just a cool place.
Up in the stands, so when I'm working the stands here, you get some good people watching in.
Oh, yeah.
And you will literally see everything from the hottest blonde chick ever in white boots, like she just stepped straight out of Instagram to, you know,
Willie Nelson lookalike
to a 20-year-old lady who's got blue hair. And, you know, I mean, it's literally, and they're all like here, it's a different venue. And everybody, you're on top of each other, but people here, they come here to have fun. And when you look at all these events, and that's why I'm not going to ask you, because it always pisses me off. Which one's your favorite? What rodeo is your favorite? Man, you got all these rodeos. Which one's your favorite? You can't really have a favorite.
Yeah, no, they're all different.
They're all so different. But, like, that's one thing about Austin that probably is the most different of anything that I work is the weird sons of bitches up in the stands. I mean, but they're all coming together to enjoy the rodeo and the concert.
This is something that you play off of a lot, and I'll have you comment on last night's crowd, too, because we asked nearly every night, not every night, but most nights, how many people are here for the first time at Rodeo Austin? It's 40 to 50% of the crowd.
I think
their return visits here are like 1.2 visits per person. So most of them only come once. They come and see the entertainer they want to see. So that creates this fan base, this crowd here in Austin, that it's their first time.
Yeah.
So, I mean, all you got to do is run a horse out in front of them, and they're like, yay, that's pretty cool.
Oh, yeah.
And last night, the loudest cheers of the night was in the barrel race, because you can understand it. It's a horse race. All you got to do is keep the barrel standing, get behind them, cheer them home. Holy cow. Because it was such a high percentage of first-time fans at Rodeo Austin, it was exciting. You know, they could understand it, and they cheered them on, and it was fabulous.
Yeah, and I think they can only probably come once. And I tell a lot of people this because, you know, with the Cowboy Channel, the good and the bad.
Good, bad, and the ugly. You bet.
I've had people go, God dang, I wish you'd change your shit. I've heard you say that every day this week. Yeah. Well, you're sitting at home. The average rodeo fan, now, everybody out there listening, if you want to respond on Instagram and tell me what you think. I think at all rodeos, people, even the people that are not rodeo fans, Ponca City, for example, Nancy Tindall from Tindall Dentistry, great lady, not a rodeo fan, but she and her friends will buy a box seat, and they come one night to the Ponca City Rodeo. They do it every year. Not that they're not rodeo fans, but they're not, you know, they go to support the community and have fun and, you know, whatever, but people don't, I mean, you can't really afford it in this day and age. I don't think the average person can go, man, we got 15 days in Austin. We're going to go four nights. You know what I'm saying? With $20 parking and, you know, $14 beers, which, I mean, it's whatever. But, you know, I think most people really only go to a rodeo one time. You know, so the thing is, yeah, it's good to switch up and it's good to have fresh material. But, like, for me, if I know something works, you know, and I know it works every time. Like you know what? We're happy people. If you're sitting beside somebody grouchy, stand up and point.
Right.
I've done that a lot, but you know what? It works every time.
And it makes you smile.
It's, yeah.
The people that do that, that are kidding around and stand up and point at their buddy or their friend or their mom or dad or whatever, makes you smile. Makes you laugh. Yeah.
So, I mean, I know that that happens a lot, but I'm like telling everybody, people, the turnover to your Joe average rodeo fan is going to go maybe one night, as I would, you know, when they have Ponca City is, you know, known for the motocross race. I don't know anything about motocross. I mean, yeah, I'm a pretty good motorcycle rider, but my act, but
no big deal.
You know, I'm not going to, like, I'm going to go over there because it's cool to watch and the kids like it, but I'm not going to go every day, you know, because.
Well, and God bless the the box seat holders at this event and all the other events that we go to, because they may go two or three nights or four nights and then give their tickets to their friends and family and let other people go. So on TV, it might look like we're 50% empty, because some of those seats are not full in those box seats. They've been sold for a long time, which enables us, and just to brag on the Texas swing in general, scholarships, Fort Worth, San Antonio, Austin, Houston, San Angelo. We give, and this is not that huge of a rodeo when you compare it to Houston, for example. Yeah. But $3.3 million back to kids in the state of Texas. That's a big deal. A big deal.
Oh, and the cattle shows here, just alone. They had 500 goat and sheep entries here this week.
Yeah.
Which I've reached out to a couple guys because I wanna find out more about the showing lifestyle, because I didn't do that. I don't know anything about showing cattle, but I mean the whole insider were, you can buy a pre-pass to get to the front of the line if you're checking in. And, you know, there's the thousands of people sitting in lawn chairs, all the show barns and all the shit that happens. Just it blows my mind. Like the winter rodeo run of showing and horses. And I mean, it's a big business. If you think about how much each one of these winter rodeos brings into the community here in Austin, I bet I've spent $2,500.
Yeah.
You know, just in fuel and Whataburger and, you know all the good shit.
And that's where city, county, state, you know, I'd love to see them get more involved in lots of places where, you know, committees that doesn't even cross their mind.
Yeah.
Because at an event of this size, I think we're right at $80 or $85 million economic impact on this community. That's a huge amount of money into this community. But it takes a large footprint. That's why they've talked about building a new facility, moving around maybe somewhere. This is 50 acres, and it takes nearly all this son of a gun to house those sheep and goats and cattle and the rides, the biggest carnival, you know.
Yeah, yeah. It's,
so it's a big deal.
You know, one other announcer story. I've told it on here about you, but I want you to be here. I want to tell it with you here.
Okay.
One of my favorite Wayne Brooks stories was from the Reno Rodeo, the richest, wildest rodeo in the West.
Right, right.
With Bob Tallman. And we love Bob. We know Bob. I don't remember what I was doing there. I wasn't clowning. I was there. I think I was just there with Reno Rosser. And when they pulled in the truck with Smokey the Bear and Smokey the Bear's wife, they have this Smokey the Bear costume guy and Smokey the Bear costume lady. Well, it could have been a guy in the suit. And Tallman says, "Ah,
started it."
What's that?
I started the whole deal, seeing the truck, because I'm sitting down there where I can see that truck coming through the gate.
Yeah.
And I started it by saying, "Look, kids, it's Smokey Bear." And then Bob too.
And then Bob says, "Do you see Smokey Bear's wife? You know why she has that shovel?" No. He said, "Do you see Smokey Bear? Do you know why he has a shovel? So he can hit his wife in the face with it if she tries to start a forest fire." And then you just go, "Smokey Bear."
Hey, kids, it is Smokey Bear. Yeah.
Was that the most you've ever been caught off?
Oh, my gosh. I got 50 stories like that. A couple years ago, right, same place in Reno, little Jimmy Smith was breakaway roping. And, you know, Bob's, he's the only one that can probably get away with it, you know. "She's a mom of three. She's a many-time NFR qualifier. She's married. She's got..." He just goes on this big rant, and she ropes, and runs back over to me and says, "You tell everybody that's not true. He doesn't know what he's talking about." I said, "Okay, Bob, you got caught. I got to call you out on this one."
What did he say to that?
"Oh, well, okay. You know him.
Oh, yeah.
Hold on."
Yeah, Tallman, he's to the point where he's like, "Yeah, well, like it or leave it."
Yeah.
My other favorite story with you and Bob was Red Bluff, California, first responder day, when Tallman gave the most silliest prayer that I've ever heard. And I told on Rump Chat, I'm going to tell it again. Wayne is a horseback at Red Bluff, and Tallman is bigger than life in Red Bluff, California.
Oh, yeah.
He's like a national.
He'll probably run for governor in Reno and probably win.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, in Nevada. Yeah.
He's a huge deal. Well, so they pull into the arena, an ambulance, a fire truck, and a police car. They had all the first responders out there, and Wayne throws it to Bob, and Bob said, "Let's pray." Well, we've all been there, haven't we? It's Friday afternoon. You don't like your job. You're driving home from work. Your wife calls, needs a gallon of milk. Yeah, you're driving. Look in the rearview mirror, the red, the blue lights. You're getting pulled over. Up comes the cop. You know you can't afford the ticket, and guess what's worse? You're in a school zone. He comes to the window, same old routine, license, registration. He takes it back. You don't know how you're going to pay the ticket. You don't know how you're going to buy the milk. The wife's not going to be happy with you when you get home and tell her what's happened. When he comes back to the window, and guess what? Today, it's a warning. It's a warning. And you know why? Because he has a family too. Amen. And everyone's like, all our people are like, "What the hell did he just say?" Wow. And everybody else is like, "Oh my God, Bob Tallman, you're the man. We love you." I'm like,
"Think this through a little bit here.
You remember that prayer?"
Oh, yeah.
And
oh,
we're
yeah.
all, like, it wasn't even a prayer. And I love Bob, and I've even told him this, and he's been on Rump Chat like 3 times. But I'm like, only Bob Tallman can just start saying a bunch of words and then say amen, and people are like, "Oh my God, that was beautiful.
Profound.
That
profound.
Was beautiful what
oh,
you
yeah.
did."
Oh yeah. One time I threw it to him. "Hey, you know, and it's great that we have the opportunity here in America to talk to our Creator and have a little divine intervention. And for that, my partner, Bob Tallman. I hate religion."
He what?
Starts it with, "I hate religion."
Where did he go from there?
Everybody just snapped their neck, you know, looking around. What the heck? But by the time it was over, he come around the corner, come around the circle. It's all about faith. It's not about religion. It's not about walking in the doors of a church. It's about your relationship with Jesus Christ. And it just had flowers and honey all over it by the time he was done. And yeah, same deal. They're like, "Oh my gosh."
When he first said, "I hate religion," were you like, "I think I better leave"?
Oh, yeah.
Where was the first place you ever worked with Tallman at?
Oh, gosh. I don't know. Probably one of the finales. Back in the day, we used to have those Pace Picani.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they had one in Las Vegas.
Yep.
They had one in Omaha, hosted a Pace Picani challenge. That didn't seem that long ago, though.
It's been a while, buddy.
God, it does. It has.
Years, I'll bet you.
You know, I was thinking about the two.
25, maybe.
Because when I was telling Ashley this morning, I was like, "Yeah, I'm going to go interview Wayne." She's like, "When's the first time you worked with Wayne?" I'm like, "God, I don't even remember." I know I've thrown you underneath the bus a couple times. One of my favorite Wayne stories. So the year that Randy Corley gets inducted to the Hall of Fame, he had to miss Phillipsburg, Kansas, which Phillipsburg is by far one of my favorite rodeos. Kansas' biggest rodeo.
It's a fun place. I
and
loved
so,
there. Loved it.
And Wayne was announcing, and we did the mannequin dance-off, and this redneck girl won it. And I mean, she had her 13 W's on and her boots shotgunned, and she had her little belly hanging out, and she had a tied up shirt. So I said, and I had to quit doing this because it kind of got weird there for a while.
More than once.
So
for me.
I said, "Well, you get $100 from our announcer, Wayne Brooks." And Wayne's like, "Okay, Justin, that's hilarious. Okay."
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
and then the act is over. And she come up to me, she's like, "Seriously, where's the 100? I said, "I'm serious. You got to get it from Wayne Brooks." And then she found you in the announcer's stand. The rodeo.
During the rodeo. Hey, where's my $100? And, you know, you're just like, I can't talk to you right now. When we're done, she waited at the bottom of the announcer stand at the stairs the whole time.
Yeah, she didn't even go back to her seats.
Look, this is a clown.
She missed like three or four events.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So I come walking out.
By the way, appreciate it.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I'm freeing the air here. So I go walking out of the arena, and Wayne is standing there with the lady and her boyfriend, and he goes, hey, you need to take care of this. I looked at Wayne as serious can be and be like, look, you said, Wayne, whoever was the best dancer gets $100. So I said, you need to take care of this. And I turned around and took off. And then she came to your trailer.
Yeah.
Sorry about that. I didn't know it was going to go that far. Did you end up paying her?
I don't remember. I think I did. You owe me $100.
Yeah, I need to get that. Hambone, we could get that invoice from Rump Chat.
Get my notes out here. I think it's more than 100.
Oh, I felt bad about that. The other time I really felt bad, we were working together in Grand Island, Nebraska.
Oh, yeah.
And they had the kids' boot scramble, not the mom scramble, the kids' boot scramble. And a kid didn't have the boot on that I give the award to. Remember that? I didn't know. And so they show the replay, and everybody starts booing. Like, and they were pissed.
Because he didn't have his boots on.
Yeah, they were like, hey, people were yelling, hey, that kid didn't win. I'm like, it's a boot scramble. We're giving away a pair of boots for kids. I mean, yeah. And they all started yelling. I'm like, what in the hell? And I was like, boo. I'm like, and they're like, look at the replay. And the replay guy just keeps showing the replay. And then that's what I was like. People are looking like, do something. I'm like, okay, you know what? The official judge today is Wayne Brooks. Wayne, tell us who's going to win.
Yeah.
And then I just left the arena. I felt bad about that.
I was like, no, not going to do that. And after all this mistreatment that you have had for me.
Not mistreatment, fun, Wayne.
I bailed you out the other day because you had a tie going on in the mutton busting.
Oh.
It wasn't long ago because I did that one time in Utah, West Jordan, Utah. And we were early in the mutton busting, and I had a couple of 82s or whatever. Never got a better ride. So it was the old try to have the crowd cheer for the winner, and I just got to dig a big old hole, and I was in trouble. Wherever we were at, not long ago, a couple weeks ago, San Antonio, you had a pair of 85s.
Did I really?
Yeah, and that's when I said, we're double checking whether it was an 85 or an 86. No, our official judge said that was an 86.
See, that's why they need to have an official judge.
Yeah.
You know? Tell Corley we're about 10 more minutes.
10 more minutes, Randy.
Our neighbor here, Randy Corley, Rump Chat Special, just stopped by. And you know what? Poor Randy. I told this on the one with Scott Walton. Poor Randy took him a bad wreck off the old hoverboard the other day. You were almost announcing here by yourself. I've got a lot of messages like, hey, did Randy really fall? He did fall. However, you told him the other day, don't get on that hoverboard. You were going to bust your ass.
Yeah, no, zero sympathy from me. Zero. You are the dumb butt that got on it, and I told you not to, so no sympathy at all. And he did crash now.
My girls come in crying. They're like, Randy's hurt. Randy's hurt.
And now when they crash, they say, I just got Randy.
Just got Randied. Do you like working with other announcers? I mean, I like the two-announcer system. I think it works great in a lot of places. Some places work better with one. But I got to ask you this.
Yeah.
How hard is it? Because I've worked 7 Pendletons. That's got to be the hardest one to work on your own. That is a day. I mean, everybody, I am so blessed to get to go to Pendleton. And, you know, I retired from there. Randy Brocker and the whole crew, Burke Davis, that's Burke with a K. They were phenomenal to me. It's just Pendleton's hard for me to get to from Fort Madison, Iowa to Pendleton to back, you know, that time of year. So I go to 5 hours from home. I go to Abilene and, I got another little pro rodeo. So that's one thing for me. I hope that people understand that, like, sometimes when I leave a rodeo, it's not that I didn't perform or something happened. It's just
or that you don't enjoy it there.
Yeah.
You don't love it there. Yeah.
I love, and I want to go back to Pendleton, but yeah. I got to work 7 Pendletons with you. which to me, that was the hardest rodeo in the world. As much as I loved it, you're so far apart.
It's tough on clowns.
It's almost impossible to clown.
It's 4 hour plus, you know, so it's a handful for myself as well. But it takes a certain clown to work that event, because what works here or there may not work at Pendleton.
Yeah.
Huge arena on the grass.
I even feel like after 7 years, I still didn't figure it out.
It's a handful for a clown. It really
is. And it's hard for an announcer too, because you can't, where the announcer stand is, I mean, you were in the air.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm 6 feet off the ground, yeah.
And by the, you know, if I have something going in the corner, I can't just go like a regular rodeo and go, hey, Wayne, because, I mean, there's 500 people all in the arena.
Right.
And, you know, that rodeo, you know, like I said, I never ask favorites. Pendleton will always be one of my favorites, my top rodeos. But, you know, the Pendleton Roundup, the voice, and I've told you this too, when you left Tucson, you know, and Will Rasmussen, great announcer, wonderful dude, one of the top five announcers. When Will first came in, it wasn't that, you know, we're like, oh, it's Will. We love Will.
Yeah,
but it's funny how your guys' voices are the, you know, the soundtrack of that event. And so when you go to these events and you hear the voice and you see the shoots, I mean, it all kind of
comes together,
ties together, and it's a soundtrack.
And that's like, and talking about Pendleton, what we both said is true. It's big, it's tough, and it's hard on clowns, especially. But the aura, the feeling,
oh yeah,
the vibe that's going on. You can go in that Pro Rodeo Sports News and get online and look up the bios of the cowboys. Probably 50% of them say that's their favorite rodeo. And it is. It's because it's Wild West.
Yeah.
It is Wild West. Little bitty old town that gets 10,000 people a day for 4 days and probably 3,000 or 4,000 watching Slack at 9 o'clock in the morning, regardless of what event it is.
Yeah.
It's just got a feeling of the Wild West, and you can't buy that.
Oh, and, you know, just the wooden chutes and, you know, the ambiance of it all. I had somebody one time go, well, gosh dang, if they'd run that thing, you know, and do this and that, you could run it in 2 hours. Well, what's the point?
Yeah.
Where are you going to go?
Yeah.
You know, it goes back to what I was saying about how everyone is special. Pendleton, you couldn't do Pendleton anywhere else but Pendleton, you know?
Right.
Like, but is there a bathroom in the announcer stand?
No, there's not.
See, that's one thing that's why I'd be a bad announcer, like, because I got to pee during the rodeo. So, like, sometimes when you're like, I go back to the rodeo, Wayne's like, hey, where you been? Well, I've been out taking a leak, maybe having a beer, you know? And, but like, in Pendleton, when you go upstairs, you are screwed for the day. Have you ever gotten to a deal where you're like, I have got to piss so bad, I don't know if I'm going to make it through?
No, because those rodeos, and especially those that I'm horseback for 3 or 3.5 hours, I've got several of those too. You just learn how to stop drinking water or iced tea or pop or anything else X amount of hours before the perf starts. So that's not
Which is handy at Red Bluff on that afternoon. Perf went 104.
Yeah.
Just quit drinking about 9 o'clock in the morning.
Yep, just stop drinking so you don't have to go. There you go. That's the secret.
Gosh dang it. I would have to. I've seen this deal. It's called a Stadium Pal. The NASCAR drivers do it. You strap it to your leg, and it's got a pee bag that goes to your old wiener, and you just go. I mean, that might be a possibility in the future.
Might be something to look into.
But, you know, the one other, like how you were at Pendleton, and the one other most iconic is Tallman. Hello, Houston!
Oh, yeah.
Which, you know, like we talked with Scott Walton because he was at Houston, and when me and Hambone and Scott did our rump chat, how Houston is just a different animal.
Oh, yeah.
You know, we're, so, I mean, you know, and we do Rodeo of the Day during the NFR. Every year, Rump Chat Rodeo of the Day, we feature all these great rodeos. Last year, we featured the Killdeer Mountain Roundup, which is 4th of July rodeo, which is on the side of a hill. It's beautiful. Of course, our hometown, Ponca City 101 Wild West Rodeo, in June, home of the Bill Pickett. You know, there's so many things that make these places special.
Yep.
And I would hope that rodeo fans that spend a lot of time watching it on TV, would
spur them to go to more.
Yeah.
Because the feeling at Houston or Austin Pendleton, Salinas, Calgary, Reno. They're all different.
Salinas was one of our rodeos of the day.
They're all different. And yeah, Salinas, kind of similar to Pendleton. Huge arena.
I've never been to Salinas, California. I've been there, but not to the rodeo.
Lots and lots of contestants. You know, we'll buck 30 head in all the rough stock events and have 15 in all the timed events. And lots of rodeo. It's an all-day deal, too. But again, one of the most iconic places that you can go with seating for 20,000. And on Sunday, which is typically more of our Hispanic Heritage Day, they have deals for carloads and stuff. And I mean, they'll nearly fill it up on Sunday. So it's an amazing event in its own way, just like Houston or Pendleton or the list goes on.
Okay, so a couple wrap up questions as we're just about done for the day. Now, these are tough. These are tough questions.
Hang on, let me get my pencil out.
But if you could go back in time and tell the rookie Wayne Brooks anything about rodeoing, what advice would you give your younger self?
You know what? The best advice I ever got was from this guy right here next door, Randy Corley. We were in Phoenix, and I think it was my first pro rodeo. I'm pretty sure it was because he had gotten sick or something, and they said, hey, let's bring in a second guy. And I was green, brand new. And he said, I'm going to give you the best advice you're ever going to get in your career. So I'm looking for a pen. You know, hold on. Let me write this down. This is going to be fabulous. This is going to be transcendent. It's going to be the best ever. He said, be a nice guy, do the best job you can do, and you'll grow. And I'm like, that's terrible advice. Terrible. That's the worst advice I've ever heard. 20 years later, I said, that son of a gun, he was right.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Surprisingly, that was the best advice I ever got.
Okay, so the next question. Now, I told you I'm not going to make you pick your favorite rodeo.
Right.
I'm not going to ask that.
Yeah.
Because, like I said, we've established the deal. So, but if you could only work one performance a year, which rodeo would it be at?
I can't.
Isn't that tough?
I can't do it. I can't go there because, you know, Homestead, Florida, 2 or 3 weeks ago, 50 miles south of Miami, southernmost rodeo in the country. Everybody there is from Cuba, Haiti, Puerto Rico, Philippines, you know, everybody there. And so it's one of the most different fan bases that you could ever see. So it's special in its own way.
Yeah.
And a smaller rodeo. And those that we just talked about, they're all very special. So, yeah, I can't answer that.
All right, one last question. What's the key to longevity for an announcer? What has kept you going on the road? Because I feel it sometimes when, you know, we're a perf every day, a perf two times a day. You know, sometimes, like, it's just like almost Groundhog's Day where you're like, God, you know, you're so happy to be here and you're so thankful for an opportunity. But then there's days where you're like, shit, I just want to go home, you know. What is your key to keeping fresh and keep going through all your performances, which is just hundreds upon hundreds?
You know, we've been blessed, lucky, fortunate, so to the extent of never taking a day for granted.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I used to work for the biggest concrete company in the business in Arizona for probably 7, 8, 9 years when I first started announcing. They were really, really good to me because they let me off on a Friday and I could go fly out or drive out and work a rodeo and get back on Monday morning. And so those were, you know, 65, 70-hour weeks and putting in a lot of hard work. So I think back on those times and think, you and I, we're the luckiest people on the planet.
Yeah.
To be able to do what we do.
Even with multiple performances, and like what I've told people, it's like, it's rodeo and the performance is easy. The hard part is the dealing with people and getting
and the travel
in the getting through the day and you know, all that fun stuff. That the other thing I like to tell people is too, is rodeo is only 10% rodeo. It's 90% working on RVs.
Well, this is 100% true. It's a people business first.
Yeah.
It is a people business first because you and I, we don't have 2 or 3 bosses. We got 40.
Yeah.
And that's okay. But you have to understand how to work with people and how to be around them. So it's always challenging. But the travel, holy cow.
Yep.
Point A to point B, you work more performances maybe than anybody I've ever known in the business. And you still raise a family and keep your wife close and keep your kids close and travel, travel, travel.
Yeah, for sure. Well, Wayne, thank you for your time, buddy, and sure, great to finally have you on the radio show.
Great to be on,
because I know that people tell you, like, hey, we heard him talking about you. We talk about you all the time. And thank you to RodeoPatch.com. Be sure to go to RodeoPatch.com for all of your needs. Thank you to the Sutton family in South Dakota for the latest order from RodeoPatch.com. Be sure to check them out. And don't forget, if you're going to have something to drink, have a nice Gold Buckle beer. Or if you feel a little wild, America's fastest rising whiskey, brewed from water from the Hood River, the Great Pendleton Whiskey, which encourages you to drink responsibly and to let her buck.
Let her buck.
And we will be seeing you guys around. More Rump Chats coming your way. Thanks, everybody. We will see you down the rodeo road.
The stars at night are big and bright. Deep in the heart of Texas, the prairie sky is wide and high. Deep in the heart of Texas, the sage in bloom is like perfume.